Hey everyone, welcome to the Front Judge Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Albino. This week on the podcast, I'm joined by my colleagues at FrontJudge.com, Mike Neff and Zach Catanzaretti, as well as driver of the number 51 Chevrolet in the Xfinity Series, Jeremy Clements, as we're here to break down an eventful weekend in Pocono. But first, tonight's podcast is sponsored by FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com/FrontJudge today, register and play for one of hundreds of NASCAR contests, or even our own for a chance to win. We've already given away a Martin Truex Jr. autographed hat, a Ryan Truex chrome visor, and a piece of Dalton Sargeant sheet metal. Don't miss your chance to win on the next special NASCAR prize. Put your name in today and get in position to join in on the fun and play against one of your favorite Front Stretch staff writers. That's FanDuel.com/FrontStretch, your weekly fantasy NASCAR destination. So, Jeremy, you had a solid weekend in Pocono in the Xfinity Series. I think you qualified 14th, started 15th overall. How did you assess your weekend at Pocono this past weekend?
It was pretty decent. I mean, we definitely out-qualified what I thought we would, being at a track where aero, motor, all comes together, and you got to have the total package, especially with that big, huge downforce we had. So I was proud of my guys. I mean, I barely let off in qualifying, and I think we were 9/100ths to making the top 12, so that was pretty cool. So I was proud of those guys, and to finish 15th, obviously, I want better, but that was, I'll take a top 15 for sure. We were right behind RCR Carr and Ryan Reed, so yeah, I was pretty satisfied with that for what our equipment is. I mean, that's the same car we ran at Richmond earlier this year and finished 8th with, so it's nothing special. We just threw the package stuff on it and raced it.
And that's so cool that you guys, you know, do so much with so little. You said that was the car you ran at Richmond, and obviously that's a short track, and now we're at Pocono, which is, oh, three times the size.
Yeah.
With restrictor plates.
Right. Which I wanted to get into because Jeremy, Mike, and Zach and I, we've talked about restrictor plates as soon as they, you know, announced it a few months back that they're going to run them at Michigan and Pocono. And I know Zach and I were there this past weekend, and you could just see how, I mean, you could visibly see how slow the cars were going compared to usual at Pocono. Were you in favor of that?
No. No, heck no. But I don't, it doesn't really matter what I'm in favor of. I mean, it didn't work how they wanted it to, I would say. I mean, they wanted more drafting, but when you have to let off the throttle like we were, you're just not going to get what they want. So they wanted a package more like what they had at Charlotte, and I feel like that's what you'll get this weekend. But I feel like we need to take the plates off and try it like that, because I feel like if we had more motor, we could definitely race better and suck up better. That's the thing. We couldn't really suck up that much.
All right, so now wait a minute. You're telling me that an underfunded team with underpowered cars that gets to kind of catch up more to these guys that have the bigger, stronger motors didn't like the idea of potentially having a more level playing field?
I don't know if you call it level, but I mean, they're going to figure out other ways to go faster. It's just part of the game. But anytime we put restrictor plate on our engine, it doesn't really, I don't know if it helps us. Because honestly, I don't even know if they had restrictor plate engines. I know we didn't. And I know you're not supposed to, but you know, I know how that, you know how that goes, guys. So, I mean, they could have had a engine that you would run at Daytona and Talladega, and we definitely have one that we've ran that is definitely better horsepower, but you're not supposed to run it, so we didn't, obviously. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm not a big restrictor plate fan anyway. I like to have power. I like to have to let off the gas, and it just kind of takes the driver out of it, and it makes it more about getting the car fast.
And that was going to be my next question. You said in qualifying you barely lifted. How big a cojones do you have to go into turn one at Pocono and not lift?
Yeah, I don't, either dumb or cojones. Yeah, I don't know which one it is. You're kind of like, man, I hope this thing sticks. And you drive off in there and you don't know what it's going to do. You only have one lap. And I felt like we had a good bit of grip. And I thought, I don't want to be too greedy. So I went in there, and I maybe could have held it wide open. I don't know. But I just didn't want to. The problem is if it didn't turn or you got loose, it would screw up the whole lap. So I just, what I do is I just barely roll out of the gas, and once I get down to the center, I'm back wide open as quick as possible. And then in the tunnel turn, I was wide open. And then in three, I just let off a little bit, and it was a great lap. Like, it was, for driving wise, it was perfect. So that's all I could ask for. But
I mean, yeah, you're driving.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I would tell you if I screwed it up. I promise you that.
And Zach, I'm curious, because you were there as well at Pocono this past weekend. I'm just curious what your take was on the package.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a surprise. I mean, we spoke to a few guys after qualifying, and they kind of knew what to expect a little bit after that. We knew it would be a little bit different than Charlotte. But going in myself, I mean, obviously not being behind the wheel of the car, I was fascinated to see that green flag and to see how it went. I was shooting by the catch fence in turn three, and to be honest, it took, I forget how long the first stage was, but it took probably halfway through that stage before I realized, oh yeah, this is a plate race. We got that package. Because they got all spread out. I mean, the double zero was leading, and Kyle got the lead, and they didn't. I mean, I guess when you're by the fence, you can't really tell, at least off the corner, how much faster or slower they're going. So, yeah, at one point, I'm like, oh yeah, this is the package. So, I know visually, it wasn't what NASCAR was expecting. As Jeremy said, if you have to lift at all, I mean, it's definitely gonna screw that whole thing up. And I mean, it kind of just shows that. Packages like this, I mean, it's kind of evolving. We're kind of seeing it being taste tested on different types of surfaces, and it goes to show that one package isn't going to work for multiple different types of tracks. So it could work at an Indy, it'll probably work here at Michigan this weekend, but at Pocono, be a little bit different. So it'll be fun to see how they get to really taste test this package a little bit more, and if they do change it per racetrack.
Yeah. Zach, I'm glad you hit on Kyle Busch, you know, winning that first stage, because he won it by over 7 seconds. You don't see that in a plate when you're running plates. But after the race, in his press conference, he mentioned, excuse my language, but he said it was boring as shit. So, Jeremy, I'm curious for you, when you're in the driver's seat and you're going so slow, obviously you can feel the difference, but how much can you feel the difference?
No, I mean, I definitely felt the difference a lot, but, you know, you just kind of get used to it, and it's like, yeah, this is it. It is what it is right here. I've got to adjust to this. So I would rather have the old package for sure, just the regular package there, and I like shifting there. I like hitting the, you know, getting on the brakes and driving the car, and there was really not much of that going on. So I don't know. I don't have the answers to make it better. I would just, like I said, try to take the plates off and try that and see what that would act like. That's really the only thing I can add to that package. But like you said, it would work at different tracks. Pocono, you're going to have to fine-tune it, do something else.
So leave the giant blade on it, but take the plates off?
Yeah, I mean, you could try it. I mean, I think, why not? I don't even know why we could do, like, just say a 30-minute hour practice session, be like, take these plates off, go out there, try to get with some cars and see what happens, you know.
And Neff, you've asked Jeremy a few questions, but we haven't gotten your take on it yet. So what did you think of the package?
I'm with y'all. I was surprised that it didn't result in a lot of slingshotting, especially at the end of the front straight. I felt going into it that, like Jeremy mentioned, you go through three. I thought guys might trail break a little bit if they had to, but for the most part, I figured they'd be able to stick on the gas. And I was of the opinion that it would be kind of like when Cup first went to Indy and guys were slingshotting from 50 and 60 feet back, just getting runs and blowing by. That's what I envisioned happening at the end of the front straight, that we would have a whole bunch of freight trains and guys, you know, positioning themselves to be in second or third instead of leading coming out of turn three as they were coming down the front straight. And it never materialized. It ended up just being strung out and almost like the current Cup package where everybody was kind of equidistant apart. And it just, yeah, I was surprised and disappointed because I really thought that it was going to lead to some cool, you know, big holes in the air and guys able to do things. And it just kind of turned into a parade.
Yeah, especially because, Pocono's got those long straightaways, but so does Indy. It has two long straightaways, and it was a pretty good race there last year. But Jeremy, I'll start this question off with you and then, you know, go to Neff and Zach. We're obviously going to Michigan this week, so you're not really out of the throttle much there anyway. So do you expect probably a pretty different race, right?
Oh, yeah, I expect a totally different race. We should be definitely wide open, and drafting should be a lot bigger there because you won't be letting off the gas. So It should be more like what you saw at Charlotte, in my opinion, at the All-Star race. So that's what they want. So hopefully it'll work, and it'll be a good show, and we can avoid the wrecks that I think will definitely happen and be up front somehow.
Zach?
Yeah, kind of play off of the First Blood movie. They better bring a good supply of wreckers for this one, because I feel like you're going to have some really big wrecks. Because like you said, it's a completely different animal from Pocono. You got those long sweeping corners. The only thing that I think could be a detriment is the fact that for whatever reason, since they paved Michigan, that groove still just hasn't widened out. And if guys get out there early in the race and get 3 and 4 wide to where it cleans off the higher sections, maybe the middle to the upper middle groove in 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, I think then you may get some serious 3 and 4 wide pack racing for most of the race. But if they don't get that cleaned off early and we end up having a lot of tire debris, because Goodyear said they're bringing a tire that wears and runs cooler, so that means we're going to have a lot of marbles and a lot of debris outside the groove. If we don't get that cleaned off, then I think you'll be lucky to have 2 wide racing for the race.
Oh, yeah, Mike hit on my point there for sure on how wide the track's going to get. I mean, that definitely dictates how aggressive you're able to be, not only on restarts, but as the run kind of ticks away longer and longer, and what type of moves you can make, how desperate these guys get. But yeah, for Michigan, I'm definitely with those guys. I think there's really not many options to get away with Pocono, 3 different turns. I mean, some of them are a little flatter, a little more, I mean, different bankings on all 3 corners. So it's just a very, very variable type of track. So I feel like you can pretty much get away a little bit there. But yeah, Michigan, it's going to be, I mean, I definitely agree, it's going to be a very close race, at least I feel. It's an even track with the straightaways and the turns being so long. I mean, you can really stay with everyone, I would feel like. And I guess that's one question for Jeremy, is on how wide the track can get. Do you feel like the cars and the drivers are going to be working to expand that groove, or do you think it might be a one-lane track this weekend?
Well, the tires are definitely going to determine that, I think. But I think we'll definitely have enough room to race 2 wide. That track's definitely got a groove for that. But 3 wide I wouldn't want to be 3 wide yet until I see that groove widen out. It's pretty hairy past that black stuff or the rubber you see. So, yeah, I hope we can widen it out. I don't know anything about that tire we got this weekend. I saw where Keselowski said something on Twitter about – he didn't, I don't even remember what he said. Something like, I don't approve this tire.
He wanted to find out how he could get his name taken off the press release because he didn't want to have any affiliation with the decision.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, oh boy, what does that mean? Like, is it that bad of a tire? Like, what? Gosh, that's, I just saw that, what, last night or the night? Yeah. I don't even remember.
Last night.
So, I don't know. All I know is we've worked very hard at JCR the past 2-3 days working on our car, getting the back down, getting the rear springs right, and getting that blade out of the air so that thing will travel and we can go fast. We've been there a lot of hours, so hopefully it pays off for us. I'm really looking forward to seeing if it does. We definitely should be better than we were last week, actually, at Pocono. So, but, you know, I'm sure a lot of other teams will be too. So that's the name of the game, right?
And Jeremy, that's the same car as Pocono, correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And yeah, I've been running around. I went to Mooresville today trying to get, I was there 7 o'clock this morning getting springs that we needed and bringing them back to the shop so Danny Gill and Tommy, those guys could put them in on the pull down and figure out which ones would be better. And just it's a lot of work that goes on in this stuff. A lot of people don't realize.
Now, last weekend in Pocono and this weekend in Michigan, how crucial were the practice sessions? Because it is a new package and something that really NASCAR has never seen before, putting plates at a non-restrictor plate track other than Charlotte in the All-Star race.
Oh, it was super important. We started off not good, honestly, in the first practice. And then they made a ton of adjustments and kept making the back go lower and travel more, get that blade out of the air. And we picked up over a second to the next practice. And usually in our case, since we're a smaller team, we only get to practice with one set of tires, so I knew the speed didn't show in that one lap time, but I felt like cars driving pretty good,
So it should be fast. And then in qualifying, you know, we were a lot faster. So we were over probably a second and a half faster than in practice. But, yeah, practice would be extremely important. We need to see how our heights are going to be, how much the car's traveling in the rear, and how it handles. I mean, you think it's going to be wide open, and you hope it still turns because the front's got so much downforce. So there's a lot to it, and we definitely need those practices to see. I'm sure I'll go out the first time by myself, like I said, get the heights right, and then try to get with some cars after we get our car driving like I would think it needs to drive.
And I was surprised by Saturday's qualifying session because I know Zach and I were standing on pit road, and some of the smaller teams like yourself and Ross Chastain, who was our guest last week, outran some of the bigger teams in the sport. Like, I think you outqualified two of the junior motorsports cars and started right next to Paul Menard in the Penske car. So why do you think...
Yeah, I was surprised about that.
Why do you think it was so jumbled?
I have no idea. I was super surprised, to be honest. I mean, I was right beside that 22, and I was like, golly, this is crazy that we're right beside them. I mean, they're such, in my eyes, that's a team I would love to drive for, and it's like, that's just a good team, and it's like, wow, what are they doing right here beside me, you know, in my own car? So, I don't know, it's pretty cool, though, I tell you that. But, yeah, when I saw the guys crossing the line right there in front of me and we were still beating them, I was like, man, wow, this is crazy. This is pretty neat. I have no idea why, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you there.
Could it be that they were doing that compromise deal where you get a little more speed, but you sacrifice the handling a little, and they were thinking that they were going to be in packs, so they tried to go for more handling, and it ended up biting them with speed and qualifying?
Possibly, but I know we didn't do that. I mean, we just, we're trying to get the car to handle as good as possible for the race. So yeah, I don't know what they were doing, but, and we started the race off really loose, which it was totally different from Friday, Saturday. The sun was out Saturday. Felt like the track was definitely slicker. So, we had to work on our car, first two stops for sure, 'cause it wasn't any good, but, yeah, that's a good question. I have no idea. It'd be cool to ask, you know, some crew chiefs or somebody on other teams what they said too about that.
And Zach, I know you were surprised by it as well.
Yeah, it was. Ryan Truex was one of them that we talked about. I mean, he just missed the pole. I mean, that's something really huge. I know Blake Koch got a pole last year for that team, but to do it at a track like Pocono, you know, with this package as well, that was really shocking. And you know, Ross Chastain, we know he always gets the most. Jeremy as well. Those two to me always get the most out of their equipment. So to see them up there in the top 15, and for Truex to be on the front row, that was a pretty big surprise. And perhaps there was some kind of give and take there with the balance of the cars for speed and grip. And I mean, I would think the bigger teams would kind of be on top. I mean, at least after practice on what the race was going to be like. I know I spoke to Austin Cindric, and he kind of had more of an idea after practice on what the race was going to be like. So maybe not, but overall, I mean, it's always cool to see small teams up front, and they had a good starting spot for the race.
Zach, Neff, any final thoughts on the Xfinity race at Pocono before we transition into the Cup Series here? Bueller?
No, I mean, it's interesting to see how it works at Michigan, of course. Just as we all just said, it was. I mean, when you bring in new stuff to a racetrack, it's going to work sometimes, it's not going to work. But overall, you know, we're testing it at different places, and you're going to see different results for different tracks. So, this was one that we're probably not going to see again. If we do see it at Pocono again for this series, it's going to be a little tinkered, I would guess.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in how the plate package works out again this weekend in Michigan. But, Zach, Martin Truex Jr. ended up in victory lane on Sunday in the Cup Series race, really beating Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick heads up. And I know on Saturday night we went out to dinner and we both picked Harvick to win on Sunday. So it's a little surprising to me that Truex won.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't think it should be that. I mean, this guy, I mean, he's always been right there.
Of course.
He's been very consistent this year. Not quite as strong as last year, but then again, this time last year, he only had two wins. So to me, he's always been there, but he's been just those few steps behind Kyle and Kevin, and the wins just haven't been there this year. He only had one, and that was a few months ago. So I mean, seeing Kyle and Kevin start up front, I mean, it was, that's all everyone was talking about, was just those two. And heads up, hopefully neither of them have an issue, and we can see who's really the quickest guy. Pocono's its own type of track, and we saw strategy come into play there. But if I were to choose between Kyle and Kevin, I would give the nod to Kevin since he led over half the race. But even above him, got to give Truex the credit here. I mean, he got that victory, and as we said, we saw strategy play out with Kyle. He thought he was going to be able to make up those spots on fresh tires, but he just wasn't able to move as much as he did. And Truex just got it done there on that last restart. He's a tremendous restarter when it comes down to those last races to the checkered flag. He usually comes out on top, and he did it again. So I mean, hopefully it becomes a three horse race. I mean, I never really expected it to just stay two cars all season long. We're not even halfway. I mean, you know how the sport kind of changes and evolves throughout one season. So if Larson can kind of join the 78 and reach Kyle and Kevin status, that'd be really cool. But for right now, I would say Truex is back in the conversation if he ever left.
Neff?
I was disappointed, I think is a good word out of that deal. Because I gave Adam Stevens credit for calling Kyle in. As Kyle mentioned in his post-race, last year they got burned because they stayed out on a late race caution and other guys went in and got fresh tires and blew by them. So this year they make the call based on history and based on what they had seen with the fall off in those tires. And then the race goes back to green and track position was everything. And I think it's really a testament again to how smart these teams are. I think last year they were still figuring out the low downforce package and they were still trying to get the most speed out of that. And I think at this point we're back to, you know, where the thing is just, it's aero sensitive to a point where being out front, even on tires that are 15 laps older, is still the advantage. And I was kind of disappointed in that. But I agree that the top three are right now Harvick, Busch, and Truex. We'll see who ends up in fourth. But I caution, listening to these guys from Fox, just christening that these three are good.
All right, I think we're losing enough there.
In the final four, like, there's no chance.
All right, I think we lost enough there. So Jeremy is
got half the season to go figuring out speed in these cars, and I was on a roll.
Yeah, I know. You're back. We hear you.
Am I back?
You're back.
I was rolling.
Can you just repeat all that?
Can you repeat all that again?
Word by word.
Yeah, go about
so, Kyle, Kevin, Martin, the shit. Nobody else can touch them, at least according to Fox. But in all honesty, I think Chevy's going to figure something out. And when we get to the playoffs, don't be surprised if one or even two of those guys don't make it to the Final Four at Homestead.
And Jeremy, I'm gonna throw this on you because Kyle and Kevin have combined to win 9 races this year. And out of the last 24 races, the three drivers, Kyle, Kevin, and Truex, have won 19 of the 24 races. Now, I feel like I know your answer, what it's going to be similar
That's
to this.
That's a lot.
Yeah, but is parity good for the sport?
Yeah. I think it is, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, yeah, we definitely need different people winning, I think, but they're the best teams, and that's it's showing for sure, you know? And it all came down to who got the clean air Sunday and at 2-1, but it's pretty – I was interested to watch who would win when they were all together too. So it was cool to see that, and I thought the 18 would blow right by them all with fresh tires, but – I would have been wrong, too. I would have wanted to pit as well.
And you see this in the Xfinity Series, too, right? Like, for years, even this year, Penske's won a lot of races. You know, Gibbs has won a lot of races in the past. So how frustrating is it when – I mean, you're on a smaller team, of course, but how frustrating is it when there are so few people dominating the sport?
Yeah, I mean, it sucks, really, because I like to see parity, like you said, and I want to be one of those guys winning, so – But I know, I mean, I'm on a small team. It's a lot different.
But yeah, I hope the other teams, like Hendrick and Ganassi, was running really good last year, and I'm sure they'll get better once they figure out the new nose for the Chevrolet this year. But hopefully Hendrick and all those guys will get better, and you can have different people racing up front and challenging all the three musketeers, I guess. I don't know. It's those three dominant guys right now. They're just winning everything. It's amazing. Doesn't matter what package it is.
Yeah, yeah. Harvick won the All-Star race in that restrictor plate package.
Exactly.
But Zach, like you mentioned, Harvick led over half the race, and he led more laps Sunday than he did in his previous 34 starts at Pocono combined. But obviously was very disappointed after the race. So Zach, is he ever going to win at Pocono?
I'm sure he will. He said that about Dover for a while, and we said about a few tracks for him, and I guess it's just Pocono and maybe Kentucky, I guess, are the only two tracks perhaps for him. And yeah, I mean, you know, Kyle Busch just got Charlotte off the list. I mean, sometimes it just takes these guys maybe decades to get one win at one track, and for him it just seems like Pocono's that place. He finished second to Blaney last year. To me, that was one of the big races that I thought he was going to win. Going back to 2014 when Dale Jr. got the sweep, he finished second in the August race. I mean, they were nose-to-nose, nose-to-bumper at least, and he wasn't able to get it done. So some drivers just had that one track that just keeps slipping away from him. For Tony Stewart, it was the Daytona 500. He won at Daytona a lot, but never that 500. And sometimes it's just that one track. So I'm sure it can definitely happen in, a month and a half. We go back to Pocono, this whole thing will be done, but maybe not. Just sometimes it just doesn't work out. And once again, it didn't work out for him.
Neff, are you there?
Yes, I am. And yeah, we saw the same thing with Kyle Busch at Charlotte. I mean, you're talking about a dude that dominates in Xfinity and Trucks at Charlotte, has won the All-Star race at Charlotte, but could not. It was just always something happened. And Harvick's got the same thing going at Pocono. It's not like he's not fast there and not in contention there. But invariably, something goofy happens, and he'll get it eventually. I mean, that team, the way they're running right now, they are too good not to get it. And on top of that, I said this a few weeks back, I feel like Harvick has peaked later than many other drivers do. Most of them seem to peak early, mid-30s. I feel like he has peaked later in his career and is at his best right now. So I just think it's a matter of time before he knocks one off at Pocono.
Jeremy, you got any input on this? Do you think he's going to get a win at Pocono?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he'll be back. I mean, he was right there. They'll learn from it and come back, and who knows, they'll probably win the next race. They're that strong, and that Ford power is that stuff. I race it every week, and I see it. It's really stout right now. They've got it going on, so. Yeah, they'll be strong again, and I'm sure he'll be able to pick up that W he wants at Pocono.
I'm curious, getting a driver's perspective, why do you think, is it just going kind of cycles with horsepower and how dominant a manufacturer can be? Is it just like a cycle of the sport?
Oh, definitely, yeah. You see it in all kinds of racing. You see it in dirt racing and in our racing. Just the teams, I mean, just like with Hendrick, and it just goes in cycles. Motors and cars, and he's like, oh man, this team's got the secret recipe, and it's just all about getting it figured all out. And they get their hands on something and get figured out, and it's like you can't stop them. So the other teams that go to work, obviously, and they'll figure something out, and 6 months down the road you'll be like, oh man, they're beating them now. So yeah, it definitely goes in cycles.
Now Zach,
just go ahead. Just like that 51 team's going to be favored at Elkhart Lake this year.
Yeah, I hope so.
They'll be looking out for the 51. You watch.
Yeah, that's right. No pressure.
The defending winner of that race, of course. Now, Zach, you and I were there, like we said, on Sunday. And overall, I thought the first 130 laps of the race was kind of a snoozer. But it started to get interesting when Derek Cope got spun around by Kyle Larson. And Zach, I don't know. I feel like that shook up the race quite a bit.
It did. I love how just saying Derek Cope is a joke. But yeah, we saw like a few late cautions there. Just saying his name, I guess.
1990 Daytona 500 champion Derek Cope. Easy there, Sparky.
I was negative 6 years old. I can't remember.
I mean, why did Kyle spin him out on purpose like that? Did you guys know?
I don't know if it was on. I don't know. I don't know if it was on purpose.
I don't think it was on purpose. I think it was just one of those non-parody things where Kyle was just so much faster. He got to him and got into him and took him around. I don't think he did it on purpose.
And to be fair to Zach's point, a lot of drivers were complaining this past weekend that he was in the way. Brett Griffin said something like, the spotter of Clint Boyer, of course, you'd be surprised that Derek Cope's been racing 40 years with what the shit he's doing today. So,
I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say
it. Zach, back to you.
Yeah, we saw a couple of late cautions play out after that with Denny and Bowman, and Eric Jones had his pretty strange restart incident with Joey Logano. And yeah, for sure, definitely shook up the race. And then we saw strategy playing. I mean, every time we go to Pocono, we expect pit stops to shake it up one way or another, whether it's mistakes or it's some guys taking two tires, four tires, stretching fuel. I'm still not over 2015 with Kenseth and Kyle Busch stretching the fuel and running out on the last lap. So every time I go there, I always expect to see a very variable type of race. And yeah, for the most part, it was pretty quiet. The first two stages, or the first stage at least, went caution free. I think both of them did. And usually just takes that one moment, at least later in the race, especially if there's, 20, 30, 40 to go at a track like Pocono, for it to just open the floodgates and just anything is possible. And we saw a few new contenders kind of reach into the top five. Brad Keselowski was pretty quiet all day, surprisingly. And, Blaney started on the pole. He got back up to sixth. He was actually pretty happy with that, with how rough the car was early. So, it's just one of those things. And, as I said, it just takes that one moment that can really shake a race up, even if it happens really late.
No.
Cautions breed cautions. We see it all the time. And that first two stages, it was like nobody was stepping out of line. Everybody was just doing their thing. Different people on different strategies. It all kind of came together as they needed to. But nobody pushed the issue. And enough, Larson gets into the back of Cope. And so that gets everybody bunched up. You got some different people playing different strategies. He had some newer tires mixed into the middle with some tires up front. And then you get to that uber wide front stretch and they go nine wide or whatever coming down by the pits. And you never know what's going to go on. And then you get Denny getting a little butt hurt off Bowman. So they go through one and two and he ends up wrecking them. I'm not saying he wrecked him on purpose. I'm saying he got upset. Because of the way Bowman raced him, and I think he tried to put it in there a little deeper than he should have, and a car ended up stepping out on him, and it kind of messed up both their days, especially Denny's. And then Jones goes to make a move and ends up bouncing off a Newman and hitting the wall, and it's attest to it. You put the helmet on, and your IQ drops about 50 points, and it happened to him on Sunday, and it's and so it's. It is what it is, but it's what we like to see. We like to see him mixing it up. We like to see guys trading a little paint, even if you're on a 2.5 mile track. And it added some excitement to the end.
Now, Jeremy, I know you said you're going to be nice, but when when you see, when you have, three quarters of the race, the first three quarters kind of go smoothly, and then you get a caution. Are you just kind of expecting like the floodgates to open and have caution after caution after caution?
Well, I think you just know that everybody's going to be more aggressive, and you know that, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's turned up the wick now. We can get after it. So, the first two stages, you're kind of like, I'll give this guy, go ahead, a little more room than I would. But, yeah, after that, in my opinion, after that second stage is done, it's race time, and it's time to go, and you don't really give and take as much as you would before. So, but I have to kind of race, which I race hard, don't get me wrong, but I just – try to race cautiously aggressive because I need my cars in one piece. So if I see a guy, my mirror, coming up and he's definitely a lot faster, he gets beside me, I'm backing off a little bit more and just letting him go and get right behind him and off we go. But if we're racing for the lucky dog or it's the end of the race, then, no holds barred then. But you got to be smart sometimes, a lot of stuff can be avoided, but It is fun to see those guys race, like Denny and them. I don't mind Denny being mad. I would have been mad too about wrecking. Sometimes you're sitting in such a bad mood, you don't want to talk to anybody. So I can understand that for sure.
Hey, Jeremy, I got a quick question. Going into this weekend, being a plate track or plate race, how remotely competitive is your backup car? Because you know, you mentioned going into practice that you're going to probably put yourself in the mix with some people and see how it races. But is your backup car even close to what your primary is, that if you do screw something up in practice, you'll still be semi-competitive in a race?
No, it's honestly definitely not. It doesn't even have the holes in the front. It's not a, it's a steel body car still. And it's a car I haven't even driven in years. So it's been riding around in the hauler for 2 or 3 years now. Luckily, knock on wood, I haven't gotten to, had to use it. And I hope that remains that way. Honestly, we definitely have, we only really have three cars that we rotate throughout the, you know, the short track and the intermediate stuff that we run the majority of the schedule. So our Iowa car is at the shop getting ready, and then the car we raced at Charlotte, it's getting the nose fixed from getting messed up on a restart. So yeah, it's kind of all we have. So yeah, I need to keep that in mind. So I'm glad you mentioned that. I need to see how it drives and drafts and all that, but I don't need to be getting in anybody's mess, because it can definitely happen, and we would be screwed.
Well, make sure you got a hole saw in the box just in case you have to cut those holes in the front of the backup car.
Oh, boy, that would not be good. That thing is probably a big turd.
Zach, Neff, or even Jeremy, you got any final thoughts before we make our predictions for Pocono?
Hopefully they're from Michigan, right?
Sorry, yeah, from Michigan.
Before we get to.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I love my home track in Pocono. We go back there in a month and a half, and us at Funstretch and all these other outlets, we get to all meet together and go to dinner and stuff. So that's the stuff we don't talk about too much, but it's always fun to see Tom Bowles, our managing editor, and everyone else. We have a lot of fun, so I always look forward to Pocono every year.
Neff?
I'm waiting to see him put a chicane in the middle of the front stretch of Pocono. I figure that's in a rules package in the not too distant future.
Hey, in today's world, I wouldn't doubt it.
So we'll go right to predictions now. Neff, I'll start with you for this weekend in Michigan, and then we'll go to Zach, and then Jeremy. You gonna pick yourself?
To what? To win?
Yeah, to win this weekend.
Oh, boy. Like I said earlier, I think a top 10, another top 15 would be great for us, honestly. I don't know if we're going to have the steam to compete for a win against all the good cars we're going to be racing against, honestly. I think you'll see another big team come out on top, unfortunately.
Now, are we doing Texas predictions, too?
Oh, sure, yeah. We could do Texas with the Truck Series.
I was going to say, we got to give some truck love going on.
Of course.
Can't be just leaving them hanging.
Of course.
Gosh, let's start with trucks. Let's just go out on a limb, because I know Johnny Sauter's going to win it, but we're going to go with Myatt Snyder to break through and put it in victory lane and shock the world. I think that would be an awesome story if we can get Snyder into victory lane. As far as Xfinity in Michigan, as much as my boy Clements is going to be up there mixing it up and giving it to him, there's way too many Cup guys in this race not to pick a Cup guy. And we already saw that Kyle Busch can run the plate package, and they got the plate package again this weekend. So I know it's a weak play, but I'm taking Kyle Busch in the Xfinity race. And then in the, just about, not going to lie, unless he's not running. And even on some weeks when he doesn't run, I pick him because they might throw him in as a backup driver or something. Cup is a whole different animal. And I'm going to leave the low-hanging fruit to you guys. I'm not going to take Larson, as much as I am willing to bet that's going to be him breaking out. I'm going to take a rolling jump and say it finally happens and Chase Elliott manages to finish in the top spot.
Wow.
All right. Yeah, starting with trucks, I'm probably going to go with Matt Crafton. To me, it was Brendan Gaughan and then Todd Bodine, and I feel Crafton's kind of been the next Texas guy to get a hold of that track. Him and Sauter have been pretty close, so I think Crafton's going to get that win. For Xfinity, I had to think about this a bit, but I will go with Ryan Truex.
Oh, wow.
Man, that'd be a huge win.
Nice.
Yeah, he was so great at Daytona. I feel like he's a really solid plate talent. Even at Pocono, when it came to that raw speed and qualifying, he was up front there in the second. So I think he can get it done at Michigan. And then Cup, I have Austin, but I was looking at stats and I saw that Kozlowski, who I didn't forget, but he dominated this the last time we were here at Michigan, though he didn't get the win. I always feel like he's one of those – Michigan's one of his better tracks. He got one of his he's had one of his best ones last year, in my opinion, was at Michigan. So I'm actually going to go with Kozlowski instead of Lawson.
Jeremy, who you got?
We're going to be blowing up some stuff if Phantom Fireworks wins this race.
I hope so. That would be cool. That would be cool.
Jeremy, who you got winning the trucks, Xfinity, then Cup?
Oh, boy. Well, I didn't get to do my homework on this, but I'm going to go with Johnny Sauter in trucks. I mean, his performance at Charlotte, it's pretty close to the same type of track, you know, so they're going to have a lot of speed in that GMS 21 truck, whatever is on that thing. I don't even know. I was going to try to make it sound good, but I don't even know what's on. A Legionnaire. But they'll be fast, and I think that 51 will be fast. Who's in the 51?
Spencer Davis.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of what truck is Noah in? That truck will be
fast. He's an 18.
Okay, see, I got to do my homework next time. Noah will be fast, and those two will battle it out in trucks. Should be a good race. And then in our race, the Xfinity race, hopefully, like I said, I get the top 10 finish. Would be great. Don't think we can win unless they all crash and we go through there, blow through there, and take the checkered. And, I think Kyle. That car was so fast. Oh my gosh, he restarted behind me, and we took off, and I got a great restart. And honestly, I was watching my mirror. He just pulled to the left and just went by me, and it's like, golly, car so fast, ridiculous. So I see him being that fast again. I don't see how they couldn't be. So he'll win the race Saturday. And then Sunday, boy, that's a tough one. Larson's been so good there. And then I think Kozlowski would be fast there too, that Ford power, him and Logano maybe. And I think I'm going to give it to Harvick again, though, because didn't Harvick win at California?
Truex
won at California. Okay. Oh, Harvick got wrecked, or he wrecked or something.
Yeah, him and Larson.
He ran into Larson.
That is right. I'm going to go with Harvick, though, Michigan. He's hard to beat. He's going to have that Ford power as well. So the four will get it done, and we'll all be eating Bloomin' Onions on Monday.
There you go. Hey, I'm going to make this short and sweet. I got Sauter winning the truck race. He's scored stage points in 28 or 30 straight stages, which is absolutely insane. I'll take Justin Allgaier in Xfinity because he's had a terrible past 2 weeks, crashed out of both Charlotte and Pocono. And I'll go Joey Logano as he's won, I think, a pair of races in Michigan. And he's doing well this year. I would say outside of the top three, he's the fourth to fifth best car, and he's obviously won at Talladega. Jeremy, really appreciate you being on this week, buddy.
Yeah, guys, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Yeah, thank you.
And Zach and I will be driving up to Michigan tomorrow to come see your race this weekend.
Sounds good. Come say hi to me.
Will do. So until next weekend where we review Michigan and we don't have a race next weekend, do we? It's Father's Day. So we'll still be a podcast next week. And until then, we out.
Peace out.
Bye.